You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, we are into hour two on this Wednesday. Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey Basement Systems downtown studios. Worried about radon? They install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. Find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. Hour one in the books, all things Calgary Flames following a tough loss to the Colorado Avalanche on Tuesday. We broke it all down, heard from head coach Ryan Huska, Joel Hanley, and Dustin Wolf, all after practice on Wednesday. If you missed any of that, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Connor, Cam, and Shan, my outstanding producers on this Wednesday. Still to come, we'll finish off the show, spinning the wheel with everybody's favorite game show, Wild Card Wednesday. Don't want to miss that. But before we do that, kicking off hour two with one of my favorite chats of the week. Very happy to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in the co-host of the Fan Pregame Show on Sportsnet, Ailish Forfar, joins us this afternoon. Ailish, how are you?
Good. It's spring here. What a absolute treat. I was just out on a patio having a coffee before the show. It's 18 degrees.
Wow. Okay. That's really nice. I thought we were doing good. We're six and we're like, yes, please, more of this.
Isn't it crazy that the second that there's a single ounce of warmth and sun, I'm so much happier. Life is good. The vibes are high. I'm going to drive around the city with my sunroof, with the windows down. It's like a new lease on life today. Vibes are excellent in the city.
They are. They're feeling good. We did our time change on the weekend, so we got some more sunlight going. We're ready to rock and roll. Let me check our weather. It's been nice lately in Calgary, but not like 18 nice.
No, this is crazy.
We're supposed to get to 18 on Sunday, so
what? Oh my god!
Maybe we'll join you with a patio coffee soon because.
But you know what's on Sunday? St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's right. No coffee on St. Patrick's Day. We'll be busy. Unless
it's green.
Yeah.
Like that's a perfect St. Patrick's Day for you. You'll pub crawl in with the sun. Like I'm kind of jealous.
That is going to be good. I'm excited. I didn't even realize that until now. I've been so busy with trade deadline and everything else. I haven't had a chance to look 48 hours ahead of myself. What was it like for you guys? I know the Leafs weren't incredibly busy, but trade deadline's always a lot of fun. We had some big moves, some surprising moves. How did Friday go for you guys?
Yeah, Friday was actually really fun. We had a 3-hour show from 2 till 5, so you know, right before the trade deadline, and then kind of had an hour or two to break it down afterwards. And that was really fun. We weren't obviously on the main network. We were on Sportsnet 360, which is kind of like the alt stream is how we were calling it. We were like, you know, hanging out with our feet up, chilling while the guys broke everything down on the main network. But it was really fun. I like when it's an unpredictable show in a sense where you get to be a bit more like newsbreaker reactor to stuff instead of just teeing up the show of the night. So yeah, the Leafs, obviously the market that we're in, didn't do too much. And I think we get like mixed feelings on that. They obviously added on the back end with Edmundston and with Connor Dewar, who's a fourth liner. And between those two moves and obviously getting the Russian Bear a little earlier, I guess a week before that, I think the Leafs are fine. Like they've been a fine team. I think every time I come on and chat with you, it's like, you know, they're not world beaters. There isn't some sort of like grand proclamation that they're going to be Stanley Cup champions. And I think that the trade deadline kind of also went the way that the team seems to be going. You know, you would know too, that Brent Living isn't, you know, the biggest of swingers at the trade deadline. I think there's probably some things that fans might've wanted, but when you look at what the Maple Leafs have to trade, when you looked at what they had in the cupboards, it was either a Hail Mary, here's our top prospect, or here's our one first round pick, or there wasn't a lot else, right? They don't have any second round picks. They barely have a third, and they don't have much else after that. So considering the state that the franchise was left in when Kyle Dubas left and the little that Brad Treliving had to work with, I think it was pretty much what we should have predicted, right? Just the way that the Leafs would just tinker around the edges. And I guess the biggest question that we're going to see through the stretch of hockey until the end of the season is, you're betting on your core again. You're betting on the same four guys and maybe five to be playoff performers. You're going to go in with two goaltenders that are kind of going head to head at this point. And that's another risk, and it's another year of leaning into having maybe the best goal scorer that we've seen in a long time, having his right-hand man and Mitch Marner playing unbelievable, and William Nylander, who's making $1 billion. So you should be able to hope that those guys can win you a playoff series, and that's kind of the way that they should be looking around the room saying, didn't add too much. That should be a sign that, you know, GM and coach trusts in us to get this done.
Is it kind of a weird spot for the Leafs to be in right now? Because as I look at things and I was getting ready to chat with you today, I'm looking at it and I go, okay, you're 8 points up on Tampa, so you're probably not falling into a wild card spot. But you're also 9 points back of Boston, so you're probably not getting top two in your division either. It kind of feels like third in the Atlantic is right where the Leafs are going to land, and now that leaves you with either Florida or Boston in round one, and it's kind of like, okay, we got a month and a bit to figure out which one it is. Is it kind of a weird spot for the Leafs to be in, knowing that there's this much time left, but unless something dramatic happens one way or another, they're not going anywhere?
Yeah, it's going to make for storylines to be hard to come by, because it's just waiting to see how Boston and Florida duke it out. Florida looks unbelievable. Boston, we saw twice. We saw Boston twice this last week, and it didn't go well for the Maple Leafs. So it's funny, about 2 months ago, if you would have asked me who the Maple Leafs would prefer to play, I think everybody here would have said Boston for sure. You know, Florida is this crazy animal that you don't even want to go into battle with. And then we saw Boston twice this week, and Maple Leafs couldn't get it done. And I don't think there's a right answer at this point. It's like, do you want to slay the dragon that has, you know, haunted you for so many playoff paths with the Boston Bruins, or do you want to go against these red hot Panthers who, you know, maybe you're going to have a rivalry with because of one playoff performance? But I would like to say the answer is none. Unfortunately, they will have to pick one of them or play one of them. And I guess until then, it's figuring out how to set your lineup, how to set your goaltending to beat either of these teams. And for some reason, it feels like the Bruins just have this game plan against the Maple Leafs. And I think they've won like 8 or 9 straight against the Leafs. Like, that's not a nice feeling going into a playoff series, knowing that this team has your number. And then look at the way Florida's playing. So down the stretch, it's going to be, health is super important for every NHL team, right? But you nailed it. Like, it's kind of set as either one of these teams, and, you know, I guess the scouting department has it easy. Watch these two teams play every game for the rest of the season and find a way to beat them. I'm jealous. I'm envious of the Western Conference. Like, oh my God, the trade deadline was awesome, because I can't wait to watch the West duke it out. There are so many teams on that side of the continent that I'm like, they could win the Stanley Cup. Dallas, 100%. Avs, for sure. Vegas, who needs a cap? Just LTIR. You got the Canucks. You got the Jets that went all in. Like, it's unbelievable how many good teams are over there. And at this point, it feels like, well, the Panthers are probably going to, like, run away with this thing. And you know, Carolina and New York will be fun to test them. But I'm a little bit envious of, like, watching playoff hockey on the West Coast, because those teams got bigger, meaner, badder, harder to play against. And I think a lot of us are just like, ooh, yeah, that's not going to be pretty when somebody has to play them.
Yeah, everybody in the West has one or two massive additions. And, you know, even Vancouver maybe didn't do anything at the deadline, but they've been busy all year. And Edmonton went out and spent. We're looking forward to watching hockey in the Western Conference for sure. And you mentioned Vegas, and I'd love to ask you about Vegas, because they shocked us all like moments before the trade deadline. And you'll love this, because you get it, you know, doing what we do sometimes, especially on trade deadline day, you're waiting for news. You kind of jump in on topics together. And we went on this, I don't want to say it was a tangent, but we went on like a 10, 15 minute talk about, like, you know, San Jose hasn't done anything. What is Mike Greer going to do? They haven't sold off any UFAs really. They've got all this money on the books. Like, what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, Tomas Hertl just got traded to Vegas. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, what are you talking about? Tomas Hertl just got traded to Vegas, and the return is somewhat surprising for some people, but I mean, can you ever count Vegas out when it comes to wanting to make their team better? They are so aggressive, Ailish.
Oh my God. I was in the same boat. We're filling time, waiting for the trade deadline. And so Jesse was co-hosting with me because Justin was in Mexico during the trade deadline. What a loser.
Come on.
And I know, he's just coming back to the studio now. I just saw him and he's so tanned. I'm like, ugh, get out of here. Anyway, so it's Jesse Rubinoff and I, and I'm like, well, let's take a quick break. We're about 3 minutes away from the trade deadline. When we come back after the commercial break, like, maybe something will have happened. We'll get some news trickling through. And we come back on the other side of the 5 minute break, and I'm like, holy crap, everyone. Like, I hold on to your hats. And I'm like, I got it. And we have like a sponsored read. I'm like, I got a trade to announce. And I do our sponsored read. And Jesse was like, what? You're kidding. Because I didn't let him look at it. I'm like, let me just read this tweet to you. And I read him the breaking news of what the Vegas Golden Knights did. And I wish I cut that video of his face, because he was like, shut up. Like, they did it again. And they did it again. And Sam McKee was in there with us, because we had him as like a, we had a bunch of guests in the studio. And he just throws his hands up in the air. And we're all laughing because, you know, a part of me is like, you got to respect it. They've just taken the full-on heel. They're the villain. They don't give a crap about what everyone is saying about them. They're technically not doing anything illegal. So if you're not cheating, you ain't trying. And a part of me is like, I wish other teams, like the team that we cheer for or we cover, would do the same thing. But Vegas has unapologetically been like this since they've been in the league. They're ruthless. They want to trade someone, they'll do it. They don't care. They want to fire someone, they'll do it. They want to put someone on waivers, who cares? We want to win. And look what happened. They won. Honestly, like, I think they've granted themselves this type of immunity from negativity that they actually care about. People will say all they want about Vegas, and you know, we're gabbing away about, oh, it's bad for the game, and they're like, kiss my ring, you know, like, whatever, we want a cup. So a part of me is like, we don't have enough teams like that in sport. Like, they're not the Astros, but you know, you have a certain feeling towards a team like that. But I do think we've talked to enough insiders this last week that there's some important meetings coming up where the board of governors or whomever are probably going to find a way to think deeper into LTIR and releasing players the day that the rate, like, yeah, there's a little something fishy there, and I totally see it. And I'm logical enough to understand that $17 million are going to come off their cap like day one of the playoffs. And that sucks. And it's an advantage that they're getting. And but a part of me is like, you know what? Like, I kind of respect the guttiness of it in a sense. So we talked a lot about it. I think it can be frustrating, especially when you're going to play that team and you know, you're on the Western Conference and you look at them and you're just like, well, this is annoying. But if you're not actually breaking any rules, I don't know what that can be done. We talked about this on our show. Maybe there is a period of time that a player has to sit in the playoffs. And I think there's some legitimacy to that. Like, I forget who we were talking to, but they said maybe they have to sit a full round. Like, let's say your lacerated spleen heals the first day of the playoffs. Well, maybe that's just too convenient for the league and you have to wait 4 to 7 games. Like, do you think that would fix things? Like, maybe. But what if you really do just heal up in time? Like, how are we supposed to know? It's Vegas. You can hire anybody to do anything. It's probably a magician that's their team doctor. Like, it's that Chris Angel guy that's like, I'll make your spleen disappear. So I don't know what you guys have thought about, if you have a solution to it. I don't know. I don't get paid to make those decisions, but maybe there is like a buffer period. Like, if you've missed the last game of the regular season and you've been on LTIR, maybe you have to wait till your team makes it to the second round. Like, is that going to make people happy? I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a tricky one. And you're right. I can't be mad at Vegas for taking advantage of a rule that everyone else has access to. For me, it's on the NHL and the Players Association to fix the loophole. Like, that's where I've sat on this whole thing. Is now, yes, the coming back on the first day of the playoffs thing is is always a bit tricky, because as much as they think that there will be teams that take advantage of that, you're right. There are going to be the guys that have the timeline work out and are available to come back on day one. So what are you going to say from a players association standpoint, right? Like, a guy's going to go on IR and he's going to say, well, I'm healthy for round one of the playoffs. How come I'm being punished as a player and I miss out on a whole round and I don't get to play with my team because I went on LTIR and I had a long-term injury? Like, that's not really fair to the player either if he actually is healthy. I wonder if this isn't like a weird medical thing where the league has to approve LTIR. You know what I mean? Like, it's not up to the team to put a guy on LTIR.
Well, like, they could go to like arbitration. You know, when they have like a neutral arbitration.
Yeah, an independent doctor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even that sounds silly.
Get a doctor from like France that has no affiliation and fly them in and say, is this person healthy? Like, you don't know what team they play for. You don't work in this continent. Can this person play sports? Like, sure, you could go about all that. Is that the top priority for Gary Bettman? Probably not. Like, hello, expansion here, revenue this. But if it happens again and it's the Vegas Golden Knights, like, that's why it's you know, this happened with Tampa. Was it Kucherov that, you know, oh, then they made T-shirts and they joked about it. And I'm like, all right, well, they still won a cup. But it's kind of gutty. They're making T-shirts and they were laughing about it on the podium. So, I mean, both those teams won a cup. So I don't know. I don't really know how to fix it. The Leafs had LTIR money. They didn't do much. So, like, you know, maybe you just got to be a little less, get rid of your morals, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm with you. I'm like, I just get paid to talk about it. I'm not going to be the one that someone smarter than me could kindly make the decision and go about it. I just, from a pure competitive standpoint, talking about Vegas, I just love the aggressiveness. I'm sure some people hate it, and I'm sure some players probably hate it because somebody's going to have to go in the summer that makes a significant amount of money in Vegas, and who knows if that's, you know, Alex Pietrangelo or William Carl. It's going to be somebody that team likes quite a bit, but if they feel they can get better, it's like, hey, we're going to make this move, and we'll deal with the repercussions later, and hopefully there's a Stanley Cup somewhere in between that. I think sports as a whole would kind of be better if more GMs took chances like that, but I guess it's not for everybody.
No, I think the fact that they won a Stanley Cup, like, that taste and that excitement and the success and how short and how little amount of time it took them to get to a Stanley Cup, like, I think there's, like, a whole lot of jealousy when players and I guess admin think about Vegas became an expansion team and won a cup before the Maple Leafs have won two rounds. Like, it's incredible what they've done. And, I'm sure you've talked expansion on your show because of the news of yesterday, but they get a head start, right? You do get to pick and choose some players and you get a little assistance in the draft. But, if you're looking from a Maple Leafs perspective, if you don't pay for your players, like 70% of your cap, maybe you could afford to get a couple more players that help down the line. So, I mean, every single team built so differently, but the fact that Vegas won, I think they can be aggressive and make these moves. You know, you saw it with Colorado, like when they won a cup or when they get to that level of success, like you, I guess as a manager and an ownership, you could afford to kind of be a bit more aggressive because you have won a Stanley Cup. So a lot of teams kind of look it on the outside in, but Vegas has put themselves in a position where they're the villain, and I think they kind of like it.
I think they do. I think they're more than okay with it, especially now that they've got their cup and they're happy to try to go for another one. Ailish, you're the best. Always appreciate your time. Have a great week. We'll check with you next week, hey?
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes,
enjoy the sunshine.
You too, pal. Take care, hey?
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Ailish Forfar joining us down the Atlas Beats and Sports Bar. Guest hotline, our Wednesday regular host of the Fan Pregame Show on Sportsnet. Take a break. Come back on the other side with another edition of Wild Card Wednesday to close things out on a Wednesday. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Coming up March 22nd, you don't want to miss it, the Sportsnet 960 Beer League broadcast from the Flames Community Arena. The morning show's Dream Team versus the afternoon show's the Arctic Monkeys. We will be dominating.
Oh, 100%.
We will accept nothing less than perfection.
I've scouted our team. Looking good.
Beauties. Beauties. Each team's going to get some custom jerseys thanks to our friends at Tuxedo Source for Sports. We're going to have an after party at Wild Rose. Friends and families, listeners, we're going to have it on your radios starting at 6:30. On your radio, listen live online. If you're coming down, doors open at 6 o'clock. We're going to have concert tickets to give away. 50-50 with proceeds going to Kidsport Calgary. Intermission games, all the fun stuff. Full details ahead of time. And if you want to enter the 50-50 ahead of time, visit sportsnet.ca/960. Go to the events page. And yes, our after party at Wild Rose Brewery brought to you by our friends at Wild Rose. Serving a premium craft beer to Albertans since 1996. Whether you're looking for a finely tuned craft lager or a robust porter, find them all around Alberta at their tap room in the Curry Barracks. Only one thing left to do on a Wednesday, gentlemen. Let's get weird with Wild Card Wednesday.
Get ready to know your afternoon show. It's time for
Wild Card Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, fellas. Logan, Shan, Cam along with you this afternoon. Welcome to Wild Card Wednesday. The dream child of Pat Steinberg still exists now on Sportsnet today. Seven categories. We'll each take a turn spinning the wheel and asking the group a question. Those categories are sports, flames, music, movies, food, personal life, and wild cards. We had a good week last week, gentlemen.
We did all right.
Let's try to keep it two in a row. Text line, get involved at 960-960.
What do you mean, not three in a row?
We've only had one in a row that was good.
A couple weeks ago, we had a good talk about soup.
You had a good talk about soup. You had a dumb opinion about soup.
Whoa.
Save it for another day.
Fine.
We're going to kick things off with the birthday boy. Cam, you get to spin the wheel first.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Sports.
Sports.
Cam, I like weakest subject.
I fully admitted that coming into my interview, by the way. I told our boss, hey, I'm going to be the guy in the room who knows the least about sports. I'm going to make your podcast sound good, though. He's like, good enough. All right.
Sounds like our boss.
So if the NHL were to disappear, fall off the face of the earth, we never heard it before, what sport do you think we would be the most likely to cover the most instead? Would it be the NFL? Would it be the MLB? Would it be something else? Well, with no NHL, what would we be covering the most?
Jeez.
Well, if there's no NHL, I'm going to assume there's no Wranglers. No AHL either.
Sure.
So hockey's gone. What sport would we cover the most here on Sportsnet, on the station? Is that what kind of...
Yeah. Personally, I think it'd probably be a very strong, like, 50-50 split between the Jays and football. But I know there are a lot of people in this city who like a lot of the sports that aren't really talked about that much. So I think there might be some room in there for, you know, if we're not talking hockey, get some curling in there, get some motorsport in there. I don't know.
You just want to talk F1.
Of course I want to talk F1. But the NHL exists, so here we are.
I got to think football's at the top. There's a very strong base of Stampeder fans.
Yeah, Stamps would be
that
up there.
Listen quite a bit and love the Stamps reports that we do and the coverage that we provide here on Sportsnet 960. My guess would be football, like probably 60-40 NFL, CFL would be my guess.
Okay.
I don't know if the Jays would dominate as much. I mean, now we're the rights holder for the Jays, so it would make sense for us, but as far as what people, I think, would want to hear, Shan, I would probably go football.
I'd have to agree. Like, football's a big thing here. Obviously, we have the Calgary Stampeders, and there are some very, very dedicated Calgary Stampeders fans. And we
love you, by the way.
Oh, 100%. I actually, like, going to a Stamps game, you go to a Stamps game, all the fans are nice. They just love their football, nice people. I like the people, the Stampeders fans. I mean, listen, I grew up in Calgary. I was one myself, and I think it was cool to be a part of that. But with how much fantasy football has taken over the football world,
yeah,
NFL is such a big talking point, and it's what got me into the NFL, and that's why I love watching the NFL now. So I think, and listen, we got a lot of Seahawks fans here, which I have my thoughts about. There's a lot of, obviously, a lot of Patriots fans. They'll be everywhere, and I know there's a lot of people that go down to Arizona, and listen, I'm a big Cardinals fan myself, so I think NFL and CFL would be a big takeover here. Jays?
Actually, you know what? I'm changing my answer.
Oh, what?
Here we go.
Food takes.
There we go. Food reviews on the daily.
Become a food review station. That's a good point.
Sportsnet 960, the kitchen.
That's pretty good.
With very occasional sports updates just to keep you satisfied. Like, we'll let you know what's happening that night in sports.
Yeah.
Like, top and bottom of the hour for a minute.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, the majority of it's going to be like, all right, today's food battle is A&W versus McDonald's.
Oh, my goodness.
We're comparing fries.
Be like COVID times.
Scores. Yeah. That's actually what I think my answer would be. I think our fan base would still survive for a while with no hockey if we went to Food Take Radio.
I like this text from Mike from the Ranch. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, your home for all things barrel racing.
That would probably do well.
Stampede season would be busy.
It's fair. Yeah, Stampede we could get 10 days of content out of.
Like 10 good days.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Live from the Chuck Wagons.
I mean, we used to.
Did last year a little bit.
No, like we used to broadcast.
Oh, yeah?
Stampede events. I don't know if we still will or not, but we used to have like Stampede radio on.
Can you send me this year? I'll do it.
Can we put you on the back of a horse?
Oh, that's easy.
And mic you up?
Yeah. I think I could do a good job covering some Stampede stuff.
Shoop says, I've had a large fascination with cricket since I first saw highlights from the 2015 Cricket World Cup. Okay. I would love to follow cricket. Baseball as a runner-up.
I like cricket. I wish I knew how it worked.
It's just the games are so long. The matches are so long.
Logan, the last time there was no NHL, the only thing covered was poker. I can just hear you commenting on it. Yeah. That was not fun.
Logan, what do you think of this guy's hand?
He's got pocket deuces. I had pocket deuces earlier today.
Our statistician at moneypoker.com says this.
You find that funny, Shan?
A little bit. I wasn't ready for it.
This text says, Stamps fan since Danny Barrett. I'm ready for a new season. That would be cool. And this text says, we need more Aussie football coverage here. Grossly underrepresented on this station. That's your fault, Shan. You got to get back into the Aussie Shan. Football.
I have watched Aussie football multiple times. And I still have no idea how it works, and I think that's why I like watching it. I just sit there, I'm like, that is crazy. I don't know what's going on. These guys are freak athletes, and it looks like it hurts, but this is cool. That's the one sport I stay out of. Oh, yeah.
All right, good start, Cam. I think I'll spin the wheel next.
Sure.
Wild card!
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Wild card.
I'd like to give a play-by-play. Logan is deep in thought, looking towards the ceiling.
I have a lot to go to here. You know what? This is always a good one, and I'm curious if it's changed. What's the best Saddle Dome only food?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
What's the one thing at the Saddle Dome? You only get one thing when you go to the Dome. What's the one thing that's at the top of your food list at the Dome?
And this has to be food?
Yep.
I'm going to go with the burger.
That's an awful answer.
The awful answer?
Nope.
I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but the awful answer is pocket dogs.
That's wrong.
That's unbelievably wrong.
You can't,
I've had a,
what
you can't
did you just
say that and think you can get away with that.
But listen, those burgers are actually really good.
No, they're not.
I like them a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
They're not, like, I'm not going to a 5-star restaurant when I go to the Dome and I get that.
A pocket dog is something that reminds me of a 5-star restaurant. There's nothing better than going to a game, listen, I don't care, Saddle Dome, baseball game, whatever, and getting a hot dog. There's nothing better, period.
Like, I've had many a pocket dog, and every time I'm like, this is going to be the one. This is going to be great. And I get it's an institution. In this city, it just doesn't do it for me, but those burgers are that good. They're that good.
Dude. I could get a good burger anywhere.
That's true, but...
And I don't know that the Saddle Dome burger is... Like, it's markedly better than a food you'd get outside the dome?
Oh, yeah.
No. I can't believe what I just heard.
Especially on... if you get there, I think, an hour and a half early, and they're, like, half price, like, $6. You can't beat that.
Yes. Hockey happy hour, good, but... I can't... I didn't expect the burger.
That's just wrong.
Wow.
Because you can leave the Saddle Dome, go for a 10-minute walk, and get a burger somewhere else late night, and it's 30 times better than that.
True. Nine is burger, right down from the Saddle Dome, by the way. Elite.
Anywhere you can get a better burger than
that. But in the dome.
No.
Exclusively. That's what I'm going for every time.
I can't even believe that was...
This is shocking.
It's an unbelievable
and
answer.
He also said that pocket dog is not good.
Yeah, that's you doubled down on.
They're fine. I get why people like them. It's just not for me.
There's no better I'm going to say there's no better combination in the world than a dome foam and a pocket dog. Period. That is, it's the best combination in the world.
I'm a sucker for the malt. I got to be honest.
Those are good malts.
It's not an event at the Saddle Dome for me without a malt. A
little cinnamon swirl.
It's just there's something special about it that I can't recreate outside of the Saddle Dome. So if I'm not getting a pocket dog, which is delicious every single time, then I have to go with the malt. I still have a burger.
Okay. I'm gonna add on to my answer a little bit.
You better be careful.
If I'm not getting a burger and I just want like a sweet treat, my favorite combo at the dome is the cinnamon swirl with the churro in it. That is heaven.
He's trying to get us back on his side.
Yeah, you're trying
that's ridiculous.
You're trying to get
you don't even believe what you just said.
Pocket dogs are still meh.
That's blasphemous. Like,
I know.
That's an unbelievably bad. I can't even believe you said that.
And that's the purpose of this segment, because I knew it was going to get people riled up, and it's true.
It's not true, though.
It's not. There's no truth
to me, it's true.
No, but you, once again, I respect that people have opinions. This is just wrong.
This text says, get burger guy off the radio.
Oh, I agree.
Burger guy.
Shub said, I got food poisoning from a burger at the Dome at the Smith versus Talbot game. There you go.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, that's probably a bad incident, I would hope. Like, I don't think that's a regular thing. But, oh. The pocket dog's just so uniquely Saddle Dome.
And right? I would give it all the credit in the world for that. Absolutely.
Like, if the pocket dog doesn't make it to the new arena, I'll be mad.
I won't go.
You think they're going to import the beer lines, too? For the dome foam?
No, that's a very bad idea.
That is a terrible idea.
This text says the dome burgers and pocket dogs are blah. Get the nachos.
Nachos are good.
Nachos at a Saddle Dome, that actually does work. That checks out.
I do love spicy pickled jalapenos on a Saddle Dome nachos.
Yeah.
There's just nothing you can go wrong
with. Nothing, eating those nachos, nothing feels like you're eating real food, but it tastes good. Like, the jalapenos feel weird. The cheese, I don't even think that's edible. But, I mean, it tastes great.
There's another one from, I guess this is kind of different. Best food at the Dome is by far the nachos from the Craft Brewery on the 200-level concourse. Marty, plus one pocket dog. This text, nachos and cheese sauce. This one, pocket dog, please. Saddle Dome food, staff cafeteria. It's cheaper. If you get access to the staff cafeteria, it's the way to go.
Absolutely.
Good Spolumbo Sando hits hard.
I can respect that.
You can't always go wrong. You can't go wrong with Spolumbos.
No.
Where
do you get the Montreal smoked meat sandwich? I didn't know that was a thing at the Dome. But I love me a Montreal smoked meat sandwich.
I'm not sure I know. I haven't been to the concourse recently, so it might have been the test kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
That it did that? I didn't know about it, but...
The taco stand that's near there is really good, too. I love those tacos.
The burger is a gut bomb, followed by a two-hour toilet tour.
Oh, I did not need that image.
This from Chris in Calgary. You can buy the Cinnamalt Swirl at Calgary Co-op grocery stores if they still sell them. That's true.
Yes, you can.
I have. It's good. It's not the same. It's good. it's not the same as as the real things.
Yeah.
This one, I got food poisoning from the dome foam, sick for 3 days. What the heck is in that crap? I think that's a hangover.
Yeah. It might be.
I think that's what that is. Those are powerful.
It might be. As this text says, what a heel turn by Cam. Yeah. Fair. You've really gone.
I'm sticking to it. I see the text line. I see what you guys are saying. I'm sticking to it.
Darren from McKenzie Lake, please take his opinions away. He lost his rights to an opinion. Tell me this isn't Soup Hater. No, Soup Hater is Shan, although Cam hates soup too. So there's two strikes against Cam.
Jeez, that's
I'm not doing
Cam.
Good on these
Cam's,
wild cards.
Cam really doesn't anything food related. Cam's going the other way.
I have
way.
Terrible takes on food.
Speaking of terrible takes, it just leaves Shan left to spin the wheel on this Wednesday.
I'll hit it.
Calgary Flames.
I like this one.
What's your least favorite food?
Okay, I go down the rabbit hole with some of my friends. We talk about some of the old Calgary Flames players that have, and there's the joke, the Flames legends, right? Like, I think we can call Jaromir Jagr a Flames legend. Wasn't there for a long time.
The forever of Flames.
The forever of Flames, exactly. Mm. Give me a Flames player that really wasn't a big name whatsoever, but you absolutely loved watching them play in a Flames uniform.
Oh, that wasn't a big name. Interesting. I like this guy. I thought you were going down the road of like the Jagrs and the Nolans and the Bertuzzi because I loved those days. But those guys were all stars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking underappreciated guys that were members of the Calgary Flames.
And the less they played, the better.
Well, if I want to go down that, then it's like Freddie Modine. But I don't.
You're really pushing my Flames knowledge here, Logo and Shen.
Yeah, this one's gonna be tougher for Cam.
I gotta go with a modern take here.
That's fine.
Oh, who comes to mind?
Do you want me to take this, Logo?
You can go ahead because I'm gonna have a couple probably.
You know who I miss? And like again, this I've been following this team closely for
Geo.
No.
Jerome McGinley.
I do miss very underrated player. I miss Troy Stetcher, man. For the short time he was here, that guy was a dog on the bone. He played hard. He had that look on his face where, like, I don't know if I would be, like, comfortable with him in a room.
What?
He's got those eyes, you know what I mean? But that guy played so hard every night. He was not here for a very long time, but I enjoyed every moment that guy was on the ice. I miss Troy Stetcher.
I don't know if you do if you're frightened of Troy Stetcher.
And I'm not ever going to be on the ice with him, and that's fine by me. That guy played hard, and I respected that.
I have a couple because I've obviously watched the Flames for so long when you ask that question. The first name that comes to mind for me is Brendan Morrison.
Okay.
I loved BMO. There was just something about the guy. He was in Vancouver forever. He was still kind of... I don't know, I'm not going to say still kind of. He was still effective when he came to the Flames, and there was all this hype that he could be the guy with Jerome McGinley for a little while. I loved having Brendan Morrison around. That's a guy that comes to mind for sure. Who else comes to mind? Short-term, non-stars. I mean... Who do you have, Shan? You must have some interesting names.
Well, the one that I always think about, I was growing up and I was starting to understand the game of hockey when I got to this point. I loved watching Anton Babchuk play hockey.
There was something about Babs.
It's exactly it. Something about him. I mean, obviously he had a bomb from the point. That was fun to watch.
Awful defensively.
And yes, I know that, but I just
really bad.
He just had something about him that I loved watching him play. This is completely off the board. Barely got any time with the Flames. Every time he played, I actually enjoyed him. Alan Quine. I actually enjoyed watching Alan Quine play hockey.
Cam has no idea what you're talking about.
We're playing the what about this guy game, and I love it. It's just names that I need to research on later.
That's a good one. You know, this will sound stupid, which goes with my persona.
Okay. What else is new?
I loved Nick Backstrom being a Flame.
That was
for
fun.
All of four games.
Yeah.
I remember like watching the Northwest Division and hating Minnesota forever because they were so stupid defensively. And Nick Backstrom was, I don't even, like, he played maybe four games as a Flame. Same with, like, Vesa Toskala, right? Like,
yeah.
Six games as a Flame. It was just like, yeah, those are guys that I loved in other places that had a short cup of coffee with the Calgary Flames, and I loved it. That's not bad. What's the text line have?
There's a lot. I mean, I'm seeing a couple Lee Stepniaks.
Stepniak's a good one.
Yeah, few Ville Niemenen. That's another
Sean
good one.
Donovan.
Sean Donovan was a speedster, man.
Yeah.
Well, what a beauty.
Christian Husalius is one that pops out a lot. That's
the
a good
Juice.
One.
The Juice is an underrated Calgary Flame of all time, sure. By the way.
A couple Tangays mentioned in there.
Sergei Makarov, little before my time.
Hakeem Aliyu.
Yeah, there's I'm actually seeing quite a few Christian Husalius.
Husalius was a dog.
Yeah.
He was really good in his time here. One of the best playmakers and passers, probably right up there passing with Alex Tanguay, to be honest. He was that good. He was so skilled, man. Only 216 games as a Flame, but he was killer when he was here.
This is interesting to me. A lot of Joe Colburn.
Joel Colburn, you know what? The local aspect for Joel Colburn has a big one.
Good Cochrane kid.
Yep, good Alberta boy. We love that. I mean, Flames probably divested of themselves with Joel Colburn at the right time.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done, but Joel Colburn was a good Flame. Worked hard, had some big moments, flashed some potential. And again, right around that 217 game mark. As a member of the Calgary Flames, Joel Colburn's a good one.
I got another one here. Derek Engeland. That was fun when he was here. I'll never forget when he was essentially fighting two people at once on the Canucks.
I remember Derek Engeland signing being like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. And by the time he left, people were like, I loved Derek Engeland. How could you not?
Oh, yeah.
The guy was a leader. He was huge in that playoff for the Flames. He took on such a big responsibility. Yeah, Derek Engeland.
I'm glad he
fought Iggy that time. Like,
yeah.
What a guy that was.
He got his time to shine the year in Vegas.
That was a good pickup from Vegas establish their locker room like that. Lots of love for Matt Lombardi, obviously. A crazy fun player to watch. Same with, you know, Sean Donovan, I think, of Matt Lombardi, the speedster that was Matt Lombardi. Kobasu's a fun one.
Can we give a shout out to Josh Jurys?
If you want to.
I quite liked him. I thought he had some moments where he was not a good player, but he had some moments where he really stood out and actually had a few games where, I don't want to say he took over, but he had some big games.
Stephen Yell is a great one.
Yeah.
Stephen Yell is a really good.
Shubes, great point. We need some Ferland love. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I think that's a pretty fair one. Looking back on Mike's time with the Flames, just even that playoff series against Vancouver, he just ran everybody over, but never really reached being a star. But his time in Calgary was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'd plus one any vote for Michael Ferland.
And then obviously, I mean, this one kind of goes without saying. I feel like a lot of people could answer this. Big Earn, Brian McGrattan. That guy, every time he's on the ice, every fight, I remember the season where he scored like three goals and every goal was just like, it was like a Stanley Cup game winner. I loved Big Earn when he was in Calgary.
Lots on the text line to get to, but we're running out of time for Wildcard Wednesday. Nicely done, boys. Another good edition. 2 weeks in a row where we've done pretty well. We'll
try
to make... Trying to make it three next week.
We're going for four next week.
No, going for three. that's Shan Virtue, Cam Hughes, my outstanding producers, on this Wednesday edition of Sportsnet Today. Lots of Flames talk in hour one. If you missed it, Ailish Forfar joined us earlier in hour two. All of that is going to be available for you on the podcast, wherever you get your favorite pods, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite pod catcher. Back tomorrow to get you set for the Golden Knights and the Calgary Flames from the Dome. And on your TVs, you can watch the Washington Capitals and the Edmonton Oilers a little later tonight on Sportsnet West and Sportsnet One. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. For Shan, Connor, and Cam, I'm Logan. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.